Hebrews chapter 12. Our brother is still reading. Beginning Hebrews 12:22. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tells us in particular that now we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Zion is the city of the great king. It's the kingdom of God. A heavenly Jerusalem. Most of the Christians today do not have such a concept. Many times we think that the church is of the earth. We are the church on earth, and so we come to meetings every week. According to the traditional way, we sing and hear a message, and then finish the meeting, and we go home, just like that. No one has a concept that the church is a heavenly Jerusalem. It's a city of the living God. It's Mount Zion. Now our God is a judging God. Besides, the church is the church of the firstborn sons. It's too high. It's too glorious. I like to ask the brothers and sisters, when you come to the meeting, do you have such a feeling? The church should be heavenly. Here it says, we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Here it says very clearly, it's the city of the eternal God and the myriads of angels. Perhaps you don't see these angels, but these myriads of angels are there serving us, innumerable company of angels. Whatever we do, they can see us very, very clearly. It's the assembly of the churchborn. It's the church of the firstborn. That's too amazing. Actually, how many firstborn sons does God have? Of course, there's only one. It's our Lord Jesus. But when we were baptized, we have put on Christ, and we have part in this firstborn son. We have the position of the firstborn son. And the firstborn is to be the king, to inherit everything, and to inherit all things together with Christ. We don't have such a sense. I don't know what kind of feeling you have. Here we are keeping the feast. And God is a judge of all. And here we are, the church, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. So, brothers and sisters, have you been made perfect? Are you being made perfect? Of course, we are all just. We are all righteous because Christ is our righteousness. But the soul of this righteous man still needs to be perfected. Do you have the desire to be perfected? To attain perfection? Do you have such a sense in you? And then there's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not only there to cleanse us and wash us of our sins, but also to bring in all the blessings of the New Testament for us to enjoy. The blessings of the New Testament are very bountiful. And God would imprint His word into our hearts, word by word. And He wants to transform our person. Do you have such a heart desire? Besides, it says here, the kingdom that we receive is an unshakable kingdom. Is that really so? It's that it cannot be shaken. We don't have such a sense that we are living in God's kingdom. We're very loose in our ways. And we do things according to our own will. And we do whatever we like. And we're disobedient. And the Lord says here, yet once more, I'll shake all things. Shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Isn't it stated here that His voice then shook the earth? That's Hebrews 12:26. Now, I'd like to ask the brothers and sisters, has the word of God shaken your heart yet? We've heard so much, but we have not been shaken. You've heard so many messages. Have your hearts been shaken yet? Or is it that you hear the message and you go home and that's it? We're not touched? We're not touched. We don't have any feeling. And we don't repent. We just hear the word and forget about it. hear it, and forget it. We hear the word, but we not practice. We do not do it. We don't have the deeds. Like the book of James says, we hear it and we forget about it. It has no effect. You know, it not only is ineffectual, but we are numb. We don't have any feeling. Tell me, if we're people like that, aren't we pathetic? Think about it yourself. I also have to consider this. You read the Word of God and you read it every day. Has it touched your heart? Has it touched my heart? Has it changed me? Changed us? Do we have any resonance within us? Do we respond to the word? Do we really take the word into us? Is there any change? If there's no change in us, then we have a big problem. Here it says, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. It's very strange. God's word can shake the earth and it also shake the heavens, and yet it cannot shake your heart. Tell me, Brother Mu-chan, what should we do? Repent. We need to repent. But if my heart is not shaken, how can I repent? In order to repent, the heart first has to be moved. If the heart is not moved, how can we repent? I don't even have the feeling that I'm wrong. How would I repent? I still feel that I'm in the right. I'm very right. Oh, it's the others who are wrong. I am right. We don't have to talk about repentance. Tell me, Brother Chang, how are we going to repent? Tell me, aren't we people pathetic? Earth and heaven are both shaken, yet my heart is not shaken at all. I've seen too much of things going on like this, for many years. Oftentimes, I speak a very strong and heavy word, and yet the hearts are not moved, the hearts are not shaken. It's ineffective. I am already discouraged. Oftentimes, I tell the Lord, Lord, what else can I say? Even your word, the Lord's word, cannot shake people's heart. How can my words shake people's heart? So I'm speaking in vain. In the end, I don't dare to speak anymore. It's better that I seal my lips and say nothing.
Yeah.
And now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. As of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. May God once again come and shake us up. There are many things in our heart that needs to be removed. Yet, if even God's word cannot shake my heart, how can I remove things that needs to be removed? Each day I pray before the Lord. Lord, purge out all the leaven that is within my heart. All the filthy things. All the love of the world, Lord, purge it. All the covetousness in me, purge it. All the sinful things, purge it out. To keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Do you keep the feast of the unleavened bread every day? When was the last time that you purged out all the leaven? So, brothers and sisters, if we do not have such an attitude in our heart, there's no way for God to be working on us at all. So that the things which cannot be shaken may remain in us. So that's why it says in verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. In Chinese, let us be thankful, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We shouldn't think that we are serving God. Of course, each and every one of us is serving. You are serving, and I'm serving as well. Every Lord's Day morning, everybody comes to serve God. But how do we serve? How do we serve? Here it says, let us have grace. And in Chinese it says, let us have a grateful heart, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. God is God. You know, He is God. We have to respect Him. We have to revere Him. In the book of Malachi, the father said, since I am your father, where is my honor? You don't even honor me. And when we come to serve, we just serve in a very loose way. It never asks the Father, Do you like this kind of service? Where is your honor? Where is your devout heart, a sincere heart? Where is your heart that fears you? Do you fear me? Do you respect me or honor me? Or do you just come in a loose way and serve? When the priests come into the holy place to serve, they should have holy attitude. You can just enter in to the holy place in any old way, but if you do so, the people will carry your dead body out. You need a heart. You need to have a pure heart with your body washed with pure water. And you have to put off the old man and put on the new man. To put on holy garment to enter in to serve our living God. Do we have such an attitude in our service? Or do we just walk in and start serving? That is why our service is dead, without life. And it cannot please God. We do not have a sincere heart. We do not have a heart that fears God. Can such service please our Father? People just prepare a message to come preach. Tell me. Do you think that the Father would appreciate your message? Who are you giving the message to? Who are you preaching to? Who are you preaching to? What can the Father gain from it? Can it satisfy his heart? That is why I don't even dare to say what kind of a service our service is. So here it says, how we should serve, we have to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Yet we don't believe this. We don't believe that he is a consuming fire. Do you remember the two sons of Eli, Nadab and Abihu? What happened to them? The two sons of Aaron? I'm sorry, it's not Aaron, Eli. They were burnt with this consuming fire. Yes, it's the two sons of Aaron. That's correct. And we still think that our service is pretty good. And what should we do? What should we do? We still have an opportunity to repent. Brother Santi, I see your face in front of me. I know you're a person who wants to serve God. But you not only need a willing heart, but you also need to serve God according to His will. You cannot serve Him in a loose way, but you have to remember that He is God. He is the Almighty God. He's the honorable God. He's a glorious and righteous God. He is the Most High God. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Almighty God. All the angels and in heaven and on earth, they all prostrate themselves before Him. Day and night, they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Yet we people, we cannot even cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." So Peter said it very properly. He said, "You have to be holy because I am holy. Be holy as I am holy." Especially those who are priests, they all the more they have to be holy. I hope that this fellowship in a simple way would remind us and that it would help us. So that we would wake up. You can examine the church where you are. How is the condition there? How is the situation there? Are you satisfied? If you are not even satisfied, how do you think that God would be satisfied? Right, brothers and sisters? The day of the Lord's coming is near. It's truly very near now. We don't have much time left. I don't dare to tell you how much time we have because I do not know. Yet I can say that the time is near. Just like what John the Apostle said, the time is near. There's not much time left. Truly so. You know, brothers and sisters, recently something happened that is quite amazing. There's a brother, Christian brother in Texas, who receive the burden from the Lord to raise some red heifer. And in the end, he succeeded. And he was able to raise five red heifer that were totally red in color. And last month, on September 15th, he shipped it per air to Israel. Five perfect red heifer that were 1 year old. They were 1 year old. So next year, now this is just a new year for the, according to the Jewish calendar. So at the end of this second year, new year, at the end of this new year, they will start offering sacrifices. Brother Kiat, did you receive this news? Have you read this news? This means to say, the situation of the offering of sacrifices in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 would be happening very soon. It's up to you whether you believe it or not. When the time comes, when God wants a perfect red heifer without any blemish, don't you think that God is able to accomplish this? Since this is the case, you should also believe that God's word would come to pass. There's not much time. We should not think that, oh, the New Testament is already 2,000 years old and the Lord will wait for a few more thousand years. No. The time is near. And we're still like slowpokes here. We're still like slowpokes. We still think that we still have time, plenty of time. There's no more time. There's not much time left. So we should all repent before the Lord in a good way. Since the Lord has already warned us, let's come back to Revelation chapter 1. Let's come and take a look at Revelation chapter 1. The Lord mentioned through the Apostle John mentioned to us concerning the seven churches in Asia. of course, we all know that these seven churches are also spoken in a prophetic way. The Brethren Assembly expounded it very clearly that these seven churches reveal the whole progression of the development of the churches. From the first church in the church in Ephesus up to the church in Laodicea, that's the history of 2,000 years. It's not wrong. It's not quite good and very accurate. Besides, it's very objective. Brother Watchman Nee also said it very clearly. Yet, this is only one aspect. And yet, today, we need to look at it from another angle. Because the seven churches were also the true condition of those seven churches in those days. At the time of the Apostle John, the seven churches in Asia had seven different conditions. Each church was different. Look at the seven churches. Are the two churches that are identical? Each church had its speciality. It doesn't mean that that's a good point. The specialty is not a good point. Actually, they're all the bad specialties of those churches. They're not so good. And these seven churches are put before our eyes. And today, you know, the churches that I know, everyone is different, right? Even all the churches in Thailand are not the same. The church in Singapore is also different, right? And the ones in Taiwan are different. And the ones in the Philippines are different, right? Where are there two churches that are exactly the same? Is the church in Phraket the same as the church in Mahachai? Or the same as the church in Bangkok? The church in Georgetown, is it the same as the church in Kuching? They're different. That is why, brothers and sisters, each church is different. Now I have to ask you all, which church would you like to be? There are seven churches with seven different conditions or situations. What about the church in Bangkok? Which category is the church in Bangkok? Brother Virat, you're the most familiar with it. You've been there many, many years. Tell me, where does a church in Bangkok fit? In which category? You don't have to answer me. What kind of church? What kind of a church are you? And Taoyuan, which kind are you? And in Singapore, kind of a church, what kind of a church are you? Which of these seven churches fit you the best? You tell me. Everybody is quiet. Brother Vera doesn't dare to say. What should we do? What should we do? There are seven churches for you to choose from. Sister Shulan. So, of course, if I had the choice, I would choose the church in Philadelphia, but in actuality, we are not it. So, which one are you? I don't dare to say. If you don't dare to say, so what should we do? You don't have the assurance. You don't dare to say it. You don't have the assurance. If you don't have the assurance, when the Lord comes back, how are we going to face him? What are you going to do? At least I have to ask you. At least within your heart, which church do you aspire to be? At least, do you have the aspiration in your heart to be a church like the church in Philadelphia? Really so? You really have such a desire? I don't quite believe it. How do you desire this? If you have such an aspiration, if you desire it, why don't you act on it? If you have a desirous heart, then you have to pursue it diligently, right? If you have such a desire and you do not pursue it diligently, how are you desiring it? You have to diligently pursue it to gain it. Each day you have to seek the Lord and ask the Lord to help you. Otherwise, you say you have it, such a desire, but how do you desire it? In what way do you desire it? The first church there, in Ephesus, the church, it's the church that had left the first love. Are you such a church? Don't think that, oh, we have a lot of good works. Oh, we're good at preaching the gospel. Oh, we have a large number. And our preaching is not bad. And we also have patience, right? You've got a lot of good points. And if you look at all these good points, you would think that you're doing quite well, right? And you also have service. It's not that you're not serving. Is there service in the church in Bangkok? Yes. Do you preach the gospel? Yes. Do you have the Lord's table? Yes. Do you have a youth meeting? Do you have a youth meeting? Yes. Do you have conferences? Yes. Oh, you've got everything. Very good, right? Not bad, right? But the best, the first and best love, do you have that? Do you have that? If you don't have it, in God's eyes, you are already fallen. That is why you should not deceive yourself. Don't think that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Our church is perfect. But the first love is gone. And then you're fallen. God doesn't care how good your work is. There are lots of different kinds of movements in the church. Then you think, oh, that's very good. There's children's meeting. There's young people's meetings. There's lots of movements. They've got gospel meetings. You've got everything. So it's seemingly very good.
Yet,
the great high priest that's walking in the midst of the golden lampstands say, you are fallen, and if you do not repent, I will remove the lampstand from your place. You need to know how God looks at his church. And how our Lord Jesus Christ judges or measures the condition of the church. If our love towards him is no longer absolute and we're just cold towards him, and you say, I still love him. Did the Lord Jesus say, if you love your father or your mother more than me, then you're not worthy of me. You love the world, then you're not worthy of me. If you do not offer up your best love to him, then you're not already not worthy of him. You're fallen. That's why you went to love the world. You've got too many things that you love. You love your real estate much more than you love the Lord. There are too many things in your heart that you love more than you love the Lord. That is why the church in Ephesus was already fallen. It doesn't mean to say that they have nothing. Yet, if the first and best love is missing, then they're fallen. That's why the golden lampstand is already removed. If the golden lampstand is gone, are you still the church? Of course, we still think that we are the church. We are it. I have even heard brothers say, oh, the church, the lampstand cannot be removed. And then I said, if that's the case, then the Lord is lying. The Lord said that I will remove your lampstand from its place. And you said it won't happen. Who should I listen to? We emphasize one city, one church. One city, one church. We emphasize that a lot. Well, in Chinese, ED is one church and not DE, which is number one. It says one church became number one. You're dead and yet you still think you're the church. You no longer have the best love and you still think you're the church. A church that loves the world, you still think you're the church? Tell me. If we understand the Bible in this way, are we right? That's why we say, oh, one city, and in the end, it becomes DE, which is we're number one, number one. Isn't that the case? You confine the people to the place. Even you're dead, you still have to confine people to that place because you are the church right there. So you have to even to be buried there. The church in Sardis was dead. Would you still want to stay there? It has become a graveyard. It has become a tomb. Are you still going to stay there? You can't leave because that's the church. It's one city, one city. You keep saying one city, one city, one city, and it end up being say you're number one, number one, number one. If you say it very quickly, E-D, E-D, D, E-D, E-D, you can tell which one we're saying. Whether you... We're all like this. We're all not clear. Now there's seven churches. You decide for yourselves. Are you the first one? A church that left the first love, the best love? Is Christ our best love? Truly so? Do you love our Lord Jesus more than we love any person or thing? Truly so? If that's not the case, then you're not worthy of our Lord Jesus. This is the first commandment. To love the Lord, to love God. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Love and serve our God in this way. This is the first commandment. Because He is God. We are too presumptuous. We just believe in him. We don't love him. That is the highest, the greatest commandment. There's no commandment greater than this one. And if we have lost this love, then we are already fallen. Gradually, many things would enter in. Oh, your position as an elder, you're way up high above everybody. And then you want your authority. You want your position. And you want a reputation. Everybody wants to listen to you. And then you have the gang of the Nicolaitans. And to replace Christ, and you become his representative authority, that everyone has to listen to you. And you start fighting with one another. Tell me, is that still the church? Is that still the church? Oh, Lord Jesus. We have to repent. That's why the church in Ephesus is already fallen. They don't repent, meaning that they have no life. They might have a lot of movement, a lot of action, a lot of works. Yet the tree of life is gone. That is why the Lord said, the overcomers, I'll give them to eat of the tree of life that is in the midst of the garden. So you don't want to belong to the first group. Right?
Now,
how about the third group, Pergamos? It's a worldly church. Tell me, are you not worldly? Do you love the world? You truly don't love the world? Why are you still fighting with one another? Why do you still want to be in a lawsuit? Sue one another. And you still want to fight for an inheritance. Fight for assets. You don't love the world? Does not the book of James tell us, if you love the world, you become what? You become an enemy of God. So, do you actually love the world, or are you an enemy of God? Do you belong to the church in Pergamos? You decide for yourselves. Do we truly love the world in our hearts? This world will pass away. Look at the situation today. Your money is becoming worthless. The price of gas is so high. and food is getting so expensive. And your money has deflated. It grew some wings and flew away. Now Wall Street is falling. Everything is getting very expensive. Why don't you go read 1 Peter chapter 3? All the things will be burnt, will be burnt away. All of old creation will be rolled up together and be burnt. Like an old garment. It's like your old, an old garment of yours that you will roll it together. The time is coming. Look at the situation in Europe. It's terrible. You have money, yet you can't buy any gasoline. So what are you going to do? It's very terrible. So that's why the future is very uncertain. Are you still going to love the world? First John chapter 5 tells us the whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. In the end, it's all over. So, what kind of a world do we still want to love? And do you want to be a church that loves the world? A church in Pergamos. Are they such a church there? You make a choice. Or perhaps you want to be the church in Thyatira. They've got Jezebel there. Very loose. They've got all kinds of things. They've got fornication, they've got the idol worship, idolatry, all kinds of things there. Whatever you would like, it's there, right there. They even have the mystery of Satan there. It's very dreadful. There are all kinds of condition of the churches, just like the Roman Catholic Church. They even say themselves that Satan lives among them. It's very dreadful. You think it sounds funny, but it's not a joke. And we shouldn't think that Satan is not among us. Because they're people. That's why we have to be careful. You've got Nicolaitans and you've got Balaam, then you've got Satan right there. You've got the flesh there. The self is so strong. Sometimes we don't even know that we're such terrible people. You can't imagine that. How about Sardis? It's a dead church. They've got a name that they're living, but they actually dead. Are you living or are you dead? Tell me, Brother Santi, are you living or are you dead? Are you half living and half dead? Which half is living and which half is dead? Sometimes living and sometimes dead. So are you actually living or are you dead? Hard to say. Hard to say. That is why the speaking of the Lord towards the churches is very serious. Let's go and read. Let's come to read the church in Sardis. That's the Revelation chapter 3, the church in Sardis. The Lord Jesus told them, I know your works. They still have a lot of works. They have a lot of deeds. But the works are just plain works. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. This is a very strong word. The Lord's church is dead. Tell me. Our Lord is living, yet his church is dead. Does that make sense? Our Lord overcame death, yet his church is dead. Tell me. How are you going to explain it away? Vera, why don't you explain it for me? There's no way for me to explain this. It's very dreadful. You never imagined that the church can be like this. It's just this morning that I received some news. There was an American brother who is trying to get in contact with us. He came out of the local churches and he's been looking for us because he had fellowship with us many, many years ago. He told Brother Toby, he got out of that place very quickly because it's dead. It's very dead. So he left that place.
So dead.
He said, that church is so dead, so dead. He left very quickly. He jumped out of the grave. Tell me, do you want to meet there? Don't you feel the death there? Of course, dead people will not feel that they're dead. I've never seen a dead person that felt that he's dead. Oh, Lord Jesus. Tell me, isn't this a pity or very, very pathetic? So you have to be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. That means, and that are ready to die. There's only a wee bit of life left because they're ready to die already. Where I have not found your works perfect before God. And the Chinese version says, I have not found one of your works perfect before God. So tell me, are your works perfect before God in your church? Why is it not perfect? Because it's dead. Dead things can't be perfect. Right? If a thing is dead, can it still be perfect? If something is living, it can be perfected. Once it's dead, there's no way for it to grow anymore. That's the end. There's no way to go forward anymore. It's no way. It's over. It's dead. It's only living things that can continue to live. That is why there's not one thing before God that is perfect. How about the church where you are? Are you continuing to grow? Do you continue to change, to be transformed? Are you being perfected to become perfect? Are you changing to become the glorious image of Christ? Or are you same year after year, you're still the same old you? You're not progressing forward, you're actually falling backwards. Tell me, how is the church in Singapore? Is it progressing forward each year? You continue to go backwards and you still think that you're fine. Tell me, isn't our situation, our condition really pathetic? How about Taiwan? Or in Malaysia? How about in the Philippines? That is why when we read about the seven churches in Revelation, we cannot just read it as some kind of a teaching. I want to see the church where I'm at, that we're continuing to go forward every week, every month, every year, that we're progressing forward. There's change. There's improvement. They're being conformed to the image of the Lord. And then we have to grow to become the first fruits and to reach the glorious goal. If we don't have such a condition, do we think that we're still a living church? I have a name that you're alive, but you are dead. Are you willing to be such a church? No? Oh, would you like to be the church in Laodicea? You are inside, but the Lord is outside. Everybody is locked inside the church, and yet the Lord Jesus is knocking on the door outside. Now tell me, is Laodicea still a golden lampstand? When there's no gold left, can it still be a golden lampstand? The Lord Jesus already told them, you have no gold. You have to come to me to buy gold from me. So can you still be a golden lampstand? That you're wretched, that you're naked, and you don't have your white garment anymore. And you're fully exposed. The flesh is showing everywhere. And yet you think that you're very rich, but you're actually very poor. And you don't have any oil. Can it still shine? Can the lampstand still shine? Tell me, what kind of a lampstand are they? Virat, could you describe this a little bit for me, please? What kind of a church do we want to be? You're inside and the Lord is knocking on the door outside. You lock yourself inside and you lock the Lord Jesus out. We want to keep everybody and lock them inside, and the Lord stays outside. Tell me, isn't this our situation? Brothers and sisters, the seven churches are in such a condition, Does that not describe the condition of our churches today? You should examine yourselves. We have to repent. That's why there are only two kinds of churches that the Lord Jesus did not rebuke. Well, the time is up. It's 8 o'clock here. Let's have some prayer. And in this next session, we'll fellowship concerning the other two churches, okay? We only have two choices.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, repent in a good way. Truly so. Do not be upset. Don't think that I'm scolding you. I'm not doing that. I'm encouraging you. So while I'm fellowshipping, actually my heart bleeds for you. I hope that the Lord can change us. That the Lord can change us. Otherwise, we read the book of Revelation in vain. Okay, let's have some prayer.